welcome to the very first episode of Like a Riley, Autism and Us. Over the next episodes, we're going to bring to you everything that we think you need to know about autism. We're going to look at reviews of products that might just change your lives. We're going to bring you guests. We're going to have the facts and the information that we think you need. But first of all, what is the life of Riley, Autism and Us? Who is this us? Is it a bit like the royal we? I don't know. But here to tell us today, we've got Christine Stevenson. Christine, tell us about it. What's this Autism and Us business?
Autism and Us began for me. I'm sure Kelly and Alison will have a different take on it with their own information. But for me, it was the start of a blog about 5 or 6 years ago. With the same title, Autism and Us, and it was all about mine and Riley's Jones out and about and how judgy people were and how much I hated everybody who was so judgmental towards me. So I thought that if I wrote a blog that it would be kind of cathartic for me, and it would also possibly educate some people. And luckily for me, it's been really, really popular. It's read all over the world. And I speak to some lovely people who find themselves in similar situations to me. So Autism and Us, our us is me. I'm 47. I have a poor husband, Shane, who, God bless him.
I feel for him. I really do, Shane. I'm with you.
And I have three boys, Alex, who's at university, Ellis, who's in high school, and Riley, who goes to an awesome school, especially for kids just like him, and he is autistic. He's 9.
So that's basically you?
That's us, yes.
And the Stevenson clan, yeah?
Yeah.
So why do we need this podcast then?
We need it because we know how popular the blog's been and how much it's helped people. So the podcast is to reach new audiences because, you know, we're on a never-ending quest of trying to get more acceptance for autistic people, and it's easier sometimes to verbalize some of the stories rather than write them. I think it's important that people know that the stories are straight from the horse's mouth and that they're honest and heartfelt. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're sad. And I think the podcast is a brilliant outlet for that.
It is, and that's what we're hoping to bring to people over the next episodes, isn't it? Is real life stories.
Yeah.
And information that'll help people. So at the minute, we all know that life with an autistic child or young adult can be especially different and difficult. But at the moment, of course, life's difficult for everybody because of the COVID-19. We're living in a pandemic situation. We've never been in this situation before. Everything's kind of upside down. What does life look like for the Stevenson family in lockdown right at the minute?
Oh, it's awful. I'm not going to lie, it's really stressful. We're all hemmed in and on top of each other all the time, and everyone's getting on each other's nerves. There's no escape, but we're doing the best that we can. I think with Riley, you know, he likes to know what's coming, and with the pandemic, that there was really no planning. It was kind of forced upon all of us, and, you know, we're just doing our best to kind of not scare Riley, keep him happy, keep him safe, and like I say, doing the best we can. Our lockdown life consists of just getting through the day, I'm afraid.
And that's it. If you can get to the end of the day unscathed, then you've done a good job.
Exactly.
So we're in lockdown at the minute. Obviously, Riley is nearly 10.
Mm-hmm.
Homeschooling, yeah. Has that reared its ugly head? I know a lot of parents are struggling at the minute with the whole homeschooling. What happens there? Are you meant to homeschool, Riley?
Well, we've got bits of work to do, but I say work very loosely. You know, there isn't really any pressure on us to kind of make Riley perform while he's off school. So, I pick my battles, and, you know, homeschooling isn't high on the agenda of getting through the day.
It's not one of them. You're not one of these mothers who's constructing the Eiffel Tower out of kitchen roll holders and things like that.
No, absolutely not. Like I said to you earlier, I'm not a fun mum. I'm a proper fun crusher. So it's snowing at the minute, you know. Some people might see snow days being brilliant and loads of fun, and I'm like, you throw that snowball, I'll break your fingers. So I'm not fun, man.
Well, you know, I do think that it is slightly lacking on your Facebook profile, the amount of snow angels you're doing, but that's just my personal opinion, yeah. You know.
I prefer to be in and dry, and, you know, I would rather watch Cars 3 13 times off the belt then have to go outside and build a snowman, but that's just me.
I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
So you're in this lockdown doing what we can to get through the day with Riley, mm-hmm. little bits of work and just basically making him as happy as he can. But of course, your middle son, Ellis, mm-hmm. he's 14.
Yeah.
He does have to be homeschooled. How is that actually working in a lockdown situation? Because I'm sure there's many families trying to homeschool as well, mm-hmm. siblings of autistic children. It can't be easy.
No, to be honest, he's schooling himself. Riley is kind of Velcro to me 24/7. From the minute he wakes up, he wants to be with me. So if Ellis does need me help, I have to orchestrate some kind of manoeuvre to actually get in his bedroom and help him. So Ellis, bless him, he's doing the best that he can. I've spoke to the school, they know the situation. They know that there's not a lot of sleep goes on in my house. I mean, you know, I average 3 to 4 hours a night. And that's no different for Ellis. So he can't be expected to get up and be on top of his game, logging on to his blooming frog or whatever it's called, to be completing his work, you know. So the school are aware of that and they've been great, to be honest.
That's brilliant, because I think, you know, it's all very well seen. Oh, you've got to have your work done by Friday and it must be in by this time.
Yeah.
But not all families are living the same lockdown. It's when people say, you know, oh, we're all in this together. Well, no, we're not, because no. Your lockdown is very different from a lot of the people listening to this, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, we're very different to a lot of how my friends are experiencing lockdown. So, no, it's all about mental health in our house. We do our best to stay as mentally well as we can. And, you know, as far as the education side comes, they'll catch up when they catch up, if they need to catch up. These imaginary milestones, that if they're not really big in our house.
Yeah. So outside of the lockdown, if we roll back to 2020, March, before all of this began, what was the relationship between Riley and his brothers like? Do you think it's really difficult for children who have autistic siblings?
It is. I think even going, like, in lockdown now, it's difficult because we're on top of each other all the time. But before lockdown started, Ellis and Riley, not the greatest relationship, to be honest. Riley will take any opportunity he can to go into Ellis's room, and, you know, he takes plugs off things. He tries to take screws out of doors so he can get the handles off. He'll spill his drinks and just general mischief. You know, it's not Riley being autistic. It's just Riley being a typical little turd, to be honest. You know,
wasn't there, I remember you telling us one time about, not so long ago, about didn't Riley get himself into Ellis's bedroom and cut through the electric cables, yeah. Which was being pretty terrifying.
He absolutely did. I was scared to go in. I was scared to go in for what I was going to find. Luckily, the trip switch saved him. But this is kind of the level of, in lockdown, when Riley's at school, that there is a break from being hyper-vigilant. You know, you can go about your day doing whatever you're doing. You know, if I wanted to cut my fringe a little bit, then I could do that and leave the scissors on the bench. When Riley's in the house, that can't happen. I mean, we must be the only people with a lock on the outside of the bathroom door to stop them getting in, because there'd just be floods. It would be coming through the kitchen ceiling. He copies everything that Mr. Bean does. You know, I've seen him line the paddling pool up outside the bathroom window, like as if he's going to jump from the bathroom window.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
This is constant. There's never any break from this. You know, he switches the cooker on. It's just, there's always something happening in the house. So when he's in school, I can breathe for a little bit. But at the minute, we're all in this kind of...
It's never ending.
We just run around. I said to Kelly yesterday, the Benny Hill theme tune could be the theme tune for my life. If you went outside in my street, all you'd see is a figure eight of trainer footprints and little footprints of where I've been chasing Riley constantly.
And that state of, like you say, hypervigilance, that's it's all the time. It's constant now that we're in lockdown. We haven't even got that break, which must take its toll on Ella's being in the house, having to try and homeschool, and obviously just like worrying what his brother's, you know, next kind of stunt's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, normally Riley would go to school, he'd come home and he'd ask, he'll type in, this is another one of the things that Riley does. He doesn't ask to go on a certain bus. He actually types the registration number in.
Right, well, that's so, you know, a problem, yeah, if you're waiting for that particular bus.
Absolutely. Shane's been to the bus stop with him and there's three gone past because they're not the right registration number. So, you know, it's not, everything is more complicated in our lives. But I think Ellis would have that time to come in from school and then Riley would be out for a couple of hours on the bus. There's just no reprieve from it.
Yeah.
So it is really difficult at the minute.
Yeah, and hopefully the lockdown won't go on too long. So outside of that and the difficulties that you've just talked about, what kind of support network do you actually have outside of the siblings and what you're trying to do? What support network do you have to help you function?
It's not great. I mean, some of that could have been kind of brought on myself, where I don't, because Riley has only got a few words to his vocabulary, I don't trust people very easily, because he can't come home from wherever he is and say, I don't like this person, I don't want to go there. It puts you, me, in a very strange position, but my main support is my dad. My mum's a right softy. She just cries if he has a meltdown. She cries if she thinks he's upset. Real softy. Shane's mum sees Riley every now and again, but, you know, he's never stayed overnight at anybody's houses or anything like that. He's always with us. I think we'll have one night a year at my annual ball where I can actually escape and kind of starfish in the bed and, you know, revel in that. But yeah, that's pretty much my support network. But I do have friends and like yourself and Kelly who I can ring when sometimes I just feel like everything's too much and I just need to kind of offload and have other people say, we've been in this position and, you know, it's fine and it's going to be fine. Sometimes I need to hear that, and I've got people who can do that for us. But
and I think that's very important, isn't it? Whether you've got an autistic child or not, just the whole situation that we're in at the moment, it's really can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to have that support system. And there's people who don't, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Yeah. So what would they do? It makes you wonder, doesn't it, who they have to offload to?
Well, I think for me, it was when I had COVID. I got a positive test 3 days before Christmas. I hadn't finished my shopping. I didn't have all of the food things in for Christmas dinner. I felt terrible, like really unwell. And it kind of came to the forefront then of how on earth are people coping in this lockdown that don't have people to drop things off for them, who they don't have someone that they can pick up the phone to and like moan and whinge and things like that. It really upset us to think, because there's a lot of people out there like that. For me, Riley, he did, when I had COVID, Riley has a severe phobia of coughing. And had I not had Shane in the house with me to kind of console Riley while I'm upstairs, very unwell, like, it just made us think, how on earth are these people getting by? It's really terrifying.
It is. And obviously the current situation, it just makes you think. Lots and lots of families have been affected by COVID, and obviously some quite severely, and they've lost people. But how are they managing when you've got an autistic child as well? That must be, you know, tenfold the problems as well. And being on your own looking after an autistic child with the COVID problem, it just doesn't bear thinking about if you have not got that support network there, I think.
Well, I think we live a life that is planned ahead. As our family does, and I know many, like Nelly, all other families do, you know, we need to be prepared for what's coming, because preparation is everything for these kids and adults. And with COVID, it's just kind of trying to explain to Riley, no, we can't get on the bus to go to town. He loves to get on the bus to go to town and get his sausage roll from Greg's and his donut and then get back on the next bus. But when Riley gets on the bus, he's keen on putting his teeth on the seat handles.
That's not what we want right at the minute.
I can't, like, the last time that I took them out was right, it was a long time ago, but we were in, like, kind of a less strict lockdown then. And I did still take him on the bus. And he picked a McDonald's cup up off the floor and drank from it. Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness.
And I mean, I have OCD, like, not the pretend OCD, yeah, the real one.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a huge deal. And all I could think of is contracted COVID and, like, how am I going to deal with that? The rest of the family's going to get it. And I go to the ends of the earth making the worst possible scenario that you can. He was absolutely fine, by the way. But, you know, like, I don't want to put him in those positions. I need to keep him safe.
Yes, and that's difficult.
He doesn't understand social distancing. And, you know, you could say to Riley, you need to keep 2 metres away from someone. He doesn't care. He can get on your knee, pull your hair or whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
So the only way that I feel like I can keep him safe is by not taking him into them positions.
Yeah, not putting him into that situation.
Yeah.
Because when you've been out and about with Riley, like you see, he loves to go on the bus and he loves to get his sausage roll and whatever. When you've been out and about, you then encounter Joe Public.
Mm.
And I'm sure some people are lovely, some people totally understand, they know they've been in that position or they know people who's in that position. Mm-hmm. But then you've got others who know nothing about it. So how do you find, when you're out and about with Riley, how do you actually find you kind of, like, received almost by the public?
I think in the beginning, when I was intimidated by the people who were tutting and staring, it made us really uncomfortable and it made us doubt yourself as a parent, which is the worst. How can you make somebody feel like that? You know, I think I'm a really good parent and I've got the confidence to say that. I probably could be better and a bit more fun, but, you know, I do what I can.
Well, I think you're doing all right, apart from the snowy angels. Exactly. That's sadly lacking, but, you know.
I've come across some amazing people while I've been out and about with Riley. Normally, when I meet these people, I tend to write about them later on because they're off, few and far between. Since I started the blog, people do recognise Riley when we're out and about. Shane's been in Phoenix with him before and met up with another dad who is out with his autistic child, and they've made a connection, and, you know, and that was through, he recognised Riley from his picture.
He's like a mini celebrity, isn't he?
He is.
Well, he's like a little model, I was going to say. He's gorgeous.
A handsome lad. And so, yeah, there's some lovely people out there, and they'll go above and beyond. Like, Mum, we've gone on holiday with Jet 2. The staff have kind of, you know, I've told them he loves going on holiday, he loves aeroplanes, like, he watches them all the time. And the first word Riley ever wrote was Jet 2. So that it wasn't Mum, it was Jet 2.
Yeah.
So they asked him if he wanted to check the tickets for people getting on the plane. They wanted him to go and see the pilot, and just really lovely, kind of, like, not just service, lovely people.
So it's like little things like that. I mean, that's outstanding, obviously, service by Jet 2.
Yeah.
And it's the little things like that can make all the difference,
yeah,
for a family that does have a child with autism. Obviously, it does. So you've got that at one end of the scale.
Hmm.
What would you say when you've been out and about? I don't know if it's a business or it just general, the public in general. What's the worst experience you've ever had?
The hands down, the one that made me feel the worst is coming home on the bus. We're always on the bus. This will be like a recurring thing.
On the buses.
On the buses, Olive. I look like Olive. So we're on the bus coming home, and for some reason, Riley wasn't happy when we got on the bus. And it was the right one. So I knew that I was on a good start. It was the right one. But once we got into his seat, he likes to sit in the same places all the time. There was an older lady and gentleman, and I say lady in the loosest term, sat behind her, and Riley began to get upset. I couldn't quite work out why in the beginning. He ended up having a full kind of meltdown. And for anyone who doesn't know, a meltdown is where some people say their kids are having a meltdown, they're not having a tantrum. They can, yeah, be bribed out of it.
There is a difference between meltdowns and tantrums.
Huge, yeah. The meltdown, we tend to make them safe. It has to run its course. We reassure him the best that we can. He doesn't like we're getting too close. We know what has to happen. But over the left-hand side of my shoulder, I can see this woman with her fingers in her ears, mouthing to her husband what a disgrace this show in front of them was. Like, that doesn't make me feel great. Like, I was crying because I didn't know how to help Riley. The worst situation to be in, and there's numerous pairs of eyes on you. It's not the best. She continued all the way home, mouthing for God's sake and like looking at the other passengers to try and get them to join in the judgment on me.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Luckily, there were people who were disgusted with her, and she got that. I could see their reactions. She was just vile. She was one of the worst people. And I must admit, when she got off the bus, she said to the bus driver, "Thank God for that," which I heard. And I did actually flip her the finger out the bus window as we drove.
Well,
past.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
It had to be done. I did say to her on the bus, "Are you kidding us? You can see what's going on here. You know, like, I'm doing my best." She didn't care one bit. She was awful. And I got home and I couldn't sleep for thinking about the way, like, how can this woman look at another woman who's in tears with her child and project hate on her? Like, that to me is unfathomable. If that was me, I would have said, "Do you need any help?" But, you know, I've got the confidence to do that. Some people haven't. She might have had processing disorder, sensory processing things herself. I don't think she did. I think she was just an old whinge. And to this day, I'll never forget her face. And I'll never forget how she made us feel.
Yeah, and that's an awful thing to happen. And it does happen. But some of the good stuff does happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody listening to this episode, and they don't know what to do, because I think we live in a time where people are a little bit scared of getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not kind of like it was, you know, going back to maybe, I don't know, 1950s or something, when they say nobody had to lock the door. Mm-hmm. We're in a different kind of culture altogether now. So if somebody was to see you out and about with Riley and you're having difficulties, what's the best thing for people to do? Should they get involved? Should they try and help, or just keep themselves to themselves? What actually helps you?
My personal experience is I would rather somebody said, "Do you need any help?" Because sometimes I really do need help. If I've got like a huge coat, a Riley, 8 shopping bags, and I need to get to my car and Riley's not moving, what do I do there? Do I just stand over a moldy like the Colossus of Rhodes, you know, where people stare at us and laugh and things like that? If somebody comes up and says, "Can I help?" and I say, "Actually, can you get me bags and I'll try and get them to the car?" That's going to change my day, my night.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a massive help. So
it's a huge help.
People shouldn't be scared to get involved.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
no.
Definitely. Definitely, that's great. So we know that Riley loves to go on the bus, and mm-hmm. at the minute he's at home. But again, if we go back pre-COVID to the happy days before Corona was ever heard of, tell us, what's a typical day like in your life? In the Stevenson family, what would your typical day consist of?
It would consist of me waking up tired because, like I said before, there's not a lot of sleep goes on. So I wake up tired and then I psych myself up, ready for the school, get ready. And it, honestly, it's the worst experience. Riley doesn't want to leave me in the mornings. He wants to stay at home. Can't blame him. Why would you want to go out when you can stay at home eating bagels, watching Thomas the Tank Engine? But, you know, once he's at school, loves it. So trying to get him ready is just like, it's like Tom and Jerry. I'd put one sock on, he puts the other one down the toilet, and he puts his shoes in the sink and fills them full of water. He'll throw his bag out the window. Whatever I've put in his snack bag, he'll stand on it on the kitchen floor and stamp on it. And generally show us how much he's not happy with the situation. Makes us feel really guilty. Really, really guilty, and I hate it. But I know that he does really enjoy being at school, and I get photos sent all day, and I get updates all day on what he's been doing. So the mornings are so stressful, and then after that, I'm either working on the Life of Riley or the charity. I'm a busy mom. I've got other things going on, as well as looking after this little Riley.
Yeah, that's it. So I sound extremely busy, so... We've got to this point, you're working, obviously you're looking after Riley, and you've got two other sons. What's happening in the future? What's your fears for the future?
I have many fears for the future, but the one standout fear, and it's the one, it keeps us awake, I write blogs about it, and that is whether Riley will live independently or not. I just want him to be happy, and I want him to be independent, and I'm sure he wants to be independent as well. And that's my biggest fear. Dying is a huge fear, and that's not in a selfish way. It's blatantly only because I just want Riley to be okay, and I'm best placed for making him feel okay. Yeah. And I think that's something that I need to work on, because there's some brilliant people out there and brilliant organisations out there. But at this moment in time, I'm still in the mindset that I'm the one for the job. And there's only me who can do that. As mums, you know what I'm talking about.
And I think, yeah, I think all, you know, parents, that'll resonate with them about, you know, wanting to make sure your kids are happy and having to basically stick around to make sure that happens. But of course, any child with a disability, then it's magnified intensely, greatly, isn't it?
Yeah.
The feelings of having to be there and always be there for your child, and that letting go thing is absolutely terrible.
It is. It's really hard. And I mean, me and my husband spend a lot of time talking about this very subject. You know, when we do get the odd night out, the whole time is spent talking about, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? How can we make sure he's okay? And that's like, it kind of consumes your whole life. I spend my whole life worrying about Riley's life later on.
And parents will, you know, be able to empathise with that. Of course, that's exactly what happens, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You've got your work. Obviously, like we see, you're looking after the kids. You're running a house and you've got Shane. If you had a day totally to yourself,
mm-hmm.
totally out of the blue, everybody was taken care of, you didn't have to do anything, what would your day look like?
It would look like a full night's sleep the night before. And then I would come downstairs and make a cup of tea, because anybody who knows, I don't drink alcohol. I haven't drank for like 13, 14 years. And that's not for any other reason than, like, if I drink, I'm an awful, obnoxious know-it-all. And I think mentally, you know, you kind of be getting mortal drunk and then having to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with Riley. That's not happening. So I haven't had a drink for a long time. So I'm a bit of a tea connoisseur. I love it. It's a standing joke that wherever I am, there's some type of nut milk or coconut milk on the table along with us in a teapot.
Breast milk even, I seem to remember.
Yes, I do like to sometimes decant it into a plastic bag and tell people it's breast milk. It freaks them out a little bit, but it's quite funny. So yeah, cups of tea make us happy. Food is just king, you know, a lovely breakfast. Netflix, watching something that I really love. I don't know if it's got Tom Hardy in it or Cillian Murphy. I'm a very, very happy girl.
Well, yes, and we would all be. Yeah, definitely.
The only way you could improve on that is them actually eating the breakfast and sitting in my house with us
watching Netflix.
Yes, that's the dream day.
And then of course you would invite me around as well to join the dream day.
Probably not. No
thanks. Okay, swiftly moving on. Right, so achievements to date. Oh, no. Are you going to start this list or shall I, you remarkable woman, you?
Yeah. Says the woman with the pink office with pictures of herself adorned.
You're just jealous of this.
Everywhere.
You're just jealous of it.
Greatest achievements, I have a couple. I have I won the Remarkable Woman Award at the Glass Slipper Awards, which was lovely to have some acknowledgement for the amount of work in how honest I am in the blog. It has helped an awful lot of people because they tell me that. And I see people sometimes send us a message and say, I saw a child today in Asda and I think they were having a meltdown. So I didn't like try and get involved or anything, but I didn't stare and I kept walking, and that's great, you know. So
it's brilliant. It was a lovely day as well, wasn't it?
It was.
What a day, yeah.
Free
hot frock.
Free drink. Well, free yeah. tea.
Free tea, yeah. We made up for it.
Yeah, it was a lovely day. And there was some amazing women there as well. And, you know, we're all women, me, Alison, Kelly, we're doing our best in, like, kind of the industry that we're working in to succeed as women. So it was lovely to see some great women celebrated that day. I also recently for the charity work that me and Kelly have done, received the equivalent of an MBE from her Madge.
See, we're absolutely sitting here in the presence of greatness, in this pink room, in the sparkly room, in the presence of greatness. Yes. What more could we ask for? So we can clearly see Christine Stevenson, remarkable woman, well, actually official remarkable woman. And that's your achievements to date. And the only thing to add to that is, that's enough of that, really, isn't it? Because next week, it's my turn. It's my story. So join us next week with a bit more of the same and a bit more Life of Riley, Autism and Us. Thank you.